the leaders had dinner on Friday night, and it was good to talk, and you know, the things that have happened in the 13 years, and you know, and Stephen says, "Bring it to them, Trish." You know, the things that I'm going, and I'm sitting there. There's so many things that were absolutely amazing that God moved on, but I just I've got on the wrong place. I haven't even got it right at the beginning. I don't think I've even got the right notes. There we are. Hallelujah. Yeah. But, you know, what I want to say is I'm so grateful. We couldn't have done church without all you people. You know, and you've been there faithful, and you've come, and some are on the door, some are, serving, some are cleaning toilets, some are doing, you know, worship, and it's just been amazing how we've all blended together, and I'm just so grateful for that. It's been an amazing 13 years, but a very hard 13 years. I don't know how many times I've resigned. But the next day, the Lord says, "Push, get up, keep going." And so we have been. And I just wanted to bring a scripture for where we're going, okay? And this is Hebrews 12. 24:25. This is what God gave me for the start today. So, Rose, if you put that up for me, that'd be awesome. That's wrong. I'm starting off good, aren't I? Have I got Hebrews? I'm sorry, I've got it wrong. I don't know what chapter it is. But anyway, I'll read it to you, okay? And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Isn't that awesome? To consider, I mean, even today us having huggles. To consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. It's so important. You know, people are out there and they're not assembling, not being together. But it's so amazing to be together, to encourage one another up, to build one another up. And this is where we're going next year. Chapter 2, is it? 10. Oh, I just put an extra 2 in. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And that's where we are right now. But it's to encourage one another in the hour that we're in, because the Lord's return is so close. And it's like, it says, exhorting one another, which is encouraging, saying lovely things to one another, building one another up. You know, to go up to one of the worship team today and say, "That was so amazing. John was good on the keyboard. John, that was amazing." And I love James on the drums. You've got absolute prophetic on those drums. It's like encouraging all that we do. Instead of getting jealous, it's to encourage and exhort and build one another up. So I want you to write this scripture down and put it in your Bible, because this is Harvest City's scripture, okay? Because the Lord is approaching. So this is my heart for us. It's like it says here, it's stirring up love. It's doing good works in the Holy Spirit. We're all going to be so amazed. It's happening now. God's going to anoint you so much. Like Helen and I were having coffee, and I was tired. And I always pray for everybody that's there. But today I didn't want to pray. And I felt the Lord, and I knew Helen was going to say this lady, because she was hobbling like this. Helen says, "Do you want us to pray for you?" And I'm going, "Oh." And so we prayed for her. She was so amazed, so blessed. And her feet were touched by God. But this is what God's saying, doing good works in the Holy Spirit, assembling together, being together in one accord, exhorting and encouraging one another, and preparing us for the return of the Lord. Because God wants us to live in holiness and purity. I know I preach this a lot, But that's what the world is getting darker. And this is a church that we're going to see many come into the kingdom, because it's called harvest. And I'm going to go a bit over about the church, but harvest came, and God gave me the name harvest in an audible voice. I had all these pretty things down, like the Bride of Christ or the Elijah anointing, and you know, or the dove, or you know, I had about 20 names down. And I went to bed, and then in the morning I woke up and God said, "You're to call this church, my church, Harvest City." And I'm going, "Why city?" And he said, "Because you're going to have a harvest from the city. And if we hadn't put city in, we wouldn't have got the name, because there was another church called Harvest." So, because I thought, oh, why do we have to have a city? Couldn't it be just Harvest Church? But see, God knew that when we registered that Harvest City was right on. You know, because you go, but God knew that what we were to put. And it's amazing, you know, because so many churches, you're not allowed to have two churches named the same unless you're in a catch the fire and you know, a denomination like apostolic and things like that. But so that's how the name come about, Harvest. And God said in the end times, when we're preparing for the Lord's return, many are going to come in to the harvest. Isn't that awesome? So, whoa. And my prayer has always been Psalm 127:1, just at the A. Unless the Lord builds the church, labor is in vain. And that is our heart, is that it is what the Father tells us to do. And we seek the Lord because we only want to do what the Father wants us to do. We want to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying. We just want to seek His face and do that. You know, we've had a lot against us. We've had words, we've had, you know, and even people that I thought loved me will come up and say, "I have to, can you forgive me because I've spoken against you?" And I said, "Why would you speak against me?" "Because you didn't give me a hug. Someone left the church because I didn't say hello to them. So if I don't say hello to you and I walk past you, just grab me, pull me back and say, 'Trish, I want a hug.'" Because, you know, sometimes we are in the spirit and we don't see everything. But that's why the body of Christ does it. Is that true? No, it's not a one-man band in this church at all. I don't even think I get called pastor, which is good. I like it. So this house is God's and we want His ways. 13 years ago we planted it, celebrating age. And I remember Lynette and I coming back from Auckland, and we said, because when I was pastoring at CCC, I wasn't married to Clive, I was on my own, and the Lord sat me up, and He said, "You're going to plant a church." And I said, "Oh, ho, ho, ho." You know, I divorced twice, and, you know, I'm a woman. You know, that's quite funny, Lord. And He said, "You are going to plant a church." So I knew that He was serious. And He knew that my past was my past. And He had forgiven and cleansed and purified. And so it was like, I always remembered that. And then Lynette and I were talking. Clive said, no church. And Lynette and I said, "Well, we'll keep praying." So we were praying, and then Clive had a dream. And he said, "Plant your church, for goodness sake, plant it." God got him. God always gets you when you know what you've got to do, so the doors are wide open. And so Lynette and I, we giggled. We came back from Auckland and we were just saying, "Oh, isn't this amazing?" And the anointing, and I was trying to drive the anointing all over us. And anyway, so we said, "Where do we start?" And I said, "What about celebrating age?" That's where CCC started. And so Freedom Church had tried to get in there for months, and they kept saying no to them. We walk off park that car just outside, walk in, Sue Jean, we want to plant a church. Can we use this place? He said, absolutely. And we're going, God, this is so easy. So that was on the Thursday. We didn't plant it that Sunday, but we planted it the next. So we only had 8 days, and we were planting a church. And I said, Lynette, and Clive was right with us now, so we were, the three of us were yakking. And we say, I wonder how many we'll get. This is, you know, this is incredible. So anyway, on the first Sunday, we get there all excited, thinking we hope someone will turn up. And Mark Prentice said, we invited Jenny and Mark on, and he said, I've never led worship in my life, but I can play guitar. And I said, well, get practicing, Mark. And he was amazing, and he carried it for a long time. But on the first Sunday morning, we got 36 people. And we thought, wow, God. But the most exciting thing was, there was a lady dressed in white, and she just sat about where you are. And she sat there, and she was just dressed in white, and her name was Mary. And none of us knew her, and Mike Cox and Jenny thought, you know, because she just said hello to us, then she left. And as she was going out, Mike Cox says, oh, I've got to go and say goodbye to her, and so did Jenny. So they both went out, and she just disappeared. She just disappeared. Absolutely, they were looking and they go, we had an angel at church today. She might be our angel. We all have an angel. But it was like we were just in awe and knew that God's hand was on Harvest City. And you know, there's times when we haven't done it right. There's times that has been very difficult. But God has been faithful all the time. We get over something, and then it's amazing. You go, you learn, and you grow, and you grow into it. And it's like things you can start just shaking off you. You know who it is that's trying to pull you back. But we're looking forward. And it's just wonderful what God has done. As I said, Lynette has been with us right from the start, which has been amazing, and I just want to honour you, Lynette. You've stuck by me. We've been through, you know, sometimes hasn't wanted to talk to me, I haven't wanted to talk to her. You know, you just get like that sometimes, but we've always loved each other, and we've always worked it out, and I appreciate you so, so much. And I thank you, Stephen, for coming on our lot. And you have been amazing. And Catherine, we bless you too. We honestly couldn't have done it. You've been 2 years or three? About 2 or 3 years. And Stephen's been a backbone. And the four of us haven't had any disagreements. We can honestly say that. I haven't been at your collar, have I? It's like we're real with each other. When we're annoyed, we'll say it. And when we want to encourage, we encourage. But our meetings are full of fun, but yet serious. You know, and it's just been amazing how God has just used us and how we've pushed through. I remember one Wednesday night, and who was there the first? Ewan, were you there the first Sunday? Couple in. Yeah, who was just the first 2 or 3 weeks? Not many. So Ewan, see, Marcy was from day one. Barbara Parsons was. Maureen and Gary? Okay, why? Tell me why? But the first year, how many people were with us? You were, weren't you? Yep. First you say, and I just want you, Val and Kevin, Ewan and Holly, Nikki. That's amazing. Thank you so much for trusting in us and keeping going. It's been amazing. It's been an amazing journey. And it's wonderful. People have come and people have gone. But the ones that have gone, we've blessed them. And a lot of them have gone into either pastoring or missions work. You know, some come to our church to be cleaned out. I love to see people cleaned out, you know, their hearts healed, and then they go on. And we are a healing church. We're a church of deliverance. Yeah, we're prophetic. Definitely got a prophetic mantle over this church. And the prophetic is strong, and you people are all prophetic. It's amazing. It's wonderful. But the one Wednesday night, I think Shirley and Malcolm remember this. Shirley and Malcolm were leaders for how long? Quite a long time, 5-6 years? Well, whatever. And so, you know, we've had good people that have walked with us. But then Malcolm had to have open heart surgery and we had to release him. You know, but they still stick with us. They still pray for us and they're still with us. And I just still feel that, you know, from them that they've still got that call on them. But we've had amazing people. Oh, but Claire and Pat Mickelson, they were absolutely amazing. They had a little granddaughter yesterday, a baby girl. Yeah, I got a photo. It was my granddaughter that sent it to me. But, you know, Tim, that's in the Sevens, it's his daughter. Yeah, so she's beautiful. But so, you know, these people, we stick by, you know, they're always friends. People don't usually leave here with problems. Some have. I've hurt some. But most people go away loved, you know. So we don't do it right all the time. And if I do ever say anything or it hurts you, whatever, it's not, I'm a person that loves. I really, true, that's my heart and I don't want to hurt. Okay, so come to me if you're offended. But anyway, this was Wednesday nights. We used to have really Holy Spirit Wednesday nights, but like what we have on Sunday. Anyway, we had a fire tunnel. And some of you know this story. And there was about 50 people. The Holy Spirit, we were crashing on the floor. We were hardly standing up. The anointing was just so powerful. And as the last person went through the fire tunnel, there was actually a mist appearing and the fire alarms all go off and we didn't have one fire engine come, we didn't have two fire engine comes, we had three fire engines that came to our place. They were all set up and they come in and they said, "What's happening here?" And he said, "There must be some hot woman." And I said, because they went right through the building. They said, "There's no fire." And we said, "No, it's the fire of the Holy Spirit." And it was amazing. And the alarms just absolutely, we all were going, "Oh my goodness." But we knew, because the Holy Spirit was rising and there was this mist. It was like, and then it gets louder and louder. And the whole place at Celebrating Age, every alarm went off and everybody outside and there was cars collecting. And, you know, and then you see these fire engines and I'm going, "Oh, one fire engine and then the next one." And just the whole place got filled with these men and I'm going, "Lord, let the Holy Spirit fall on them. Let them get what we've just got." So, you know, God is doing something. Do you two want to share? You do, eh? But, Lynette, would you like to share something?
I mean, just like Trish says, it's been an amazing 13 years. And like she said, we've had our ups and downs and our roundabouts. But you know what? It makes you stronger and it makes you push through even more. And that's what we've done as a team and as a church. We've pushed through and risen above those things. And, you know, we get hurt. And like Trish said, I haven't always done it right either. And, you know, and I'm, you know, just human. And, you know, just I don't want to hurt anybody either. But anyhow, it was great. Like Trish said, on the way home from that was, yeah, the Holy Spirit really fell on us. It was, I think we were laughing all the way home and we're going, oh, the Lord wants us to plant a church. And we were so excited. And I remember going and getting the first communion trays and I rushed off and got all this material because I thought we've got to have flags. We've got to have flags. And so I went and bought all this gold material and blue material and stuff like that. And we had this, all of this tour that we used and within 2 weeks from the time we came, it was 2 weeks, say, from the time Clive said, yes, that's it, go for it, we had a church plant. And praise God. Yeah, praise God, because I don't know where I'd be. You know, it's been it's just wonderful, like Trish said, that all of you guys, you're beautiful. Every one of you are beautiful. And you've brought something very, very special to this place. Very special. And we want to say thank you so much for everything that you have done, everything that you have supported us in as a team. You really have. And the encouragement that we get from some of you, you know, like Trish said, it hasn't always been easy, but there's always been those that have loved us and stood by us and worked through things with us. So thank you so much. Yeah, and we're excited for next year. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And Trish and Clive, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, we've been through a lot. These are like Mama and Papa. Mama and Papa. And we've stuck through. We've pushed through and we've stuck together. And like Trish said, we always come back and we love each other.
Well, I just want to say that Trish has done an amazing job as pastor. See, she was the called one. That's the difference. See, why I wasn't on board at the start was because God wasn't speaking to me about starting a church. God wasn't speaking to me about pastoring a church. Didn't hear a thing because the call was to be on Trish. The call was to be on Trish. And I think he kept me totally in the background so that there wouldn't be this bowing to religious protocol that the man's the pastor. See, God, that's exactly right. See, God, Trish was commissioned of God to break the mold of the religious thinking. She was commissioned to break the mold. That's why the call was on her. See, the call of pastor has been too much gender-based and not the call-based. And God wants to reverse that, and he's still using Trish to do that. And, finally I relented and said, well, okay, if you want to start a church, start a church. But see, by that stage, Trish knew that she was the called one and I wasn't. And it's interesting, Trish has had time out at times. She's had to have time out. And kind of, I've sort of been in charge. And the church has got less and less and less people. And Trish has said to me more than my, oh, she said, I think it's time I got back. Yeah. because the church is going down in numbers. And I just think, hallelujah, it just confirms that I was never to be the pastor. And, which is exactly right. I have not got a pastor's call. And thank God I know it. I'm not trying to be something I'm not. I am who I am. And just the last thing, the things that you hear sometimes at conferences, we've been to many, many conferences over the years, and there'll always be a speaker that gets, will pastors and their wives come up, and pastors and their wives come up, you know, because we want to pray over them, we want to impart, we want to. Hey, I think it's about time we had a twofold call: pastors and their wives, and pastors and their husbands come up. That would bring things. That's the day I'm looking for. Pastors and wives, and pastors and their husbands come up. That would put things where it's actually at. That's what's needed. Okay, that's enough of me, and back to Trish.
Yeah, I just want to add to that. You know, it's certainly the pastor thing with Trish has been great, you know, being a woman as a pastor. But I want to add to that and just say, you know, she's come out of a brethren background and you know, and gone right to the other extreme, you know, where the Holy Spirit wasn't even recognized, to a church where the prophetic has really moved and the Holy Spirit's been free to move. And on top of that, the laughter, you know, I mean, God's got a sense of humor picking up a woman in the first place, making her a pastor, bring her out of a brethren background into, you know, where the Holy Spirit's free to move, and you know, just breaking that mold, and they're laughing in the heavens. God is laughing in the heavens today. He's rejoicing with us. They're having a party up there for us, all those that have gone before from this church, and they're celebrating with us, and that they want us to go to yet another level of glory and just that freedom.
Oh, but I know that you all appreciate Clive and what he brings. God, it's like we blend together and we encourage. Like, Clive is an amazing preacher. He's very prophetic, and he does so much behind scenes. You know, he makes sure we've got the communion cup. He makes sure we've got the cups. He's out buying the biscuits. He's doing, you know, so much. And when we're at the other church building, he was always putting the chairs out. He worked and worked and worked, you know. So Clive is anointed, not as a pastor. If you want a lovely, lovely, cuddly word from Clive, he won't even see you. People say, Clive walked past me and he didn't even say hello. I said, don't worry about it. That's Clive. His mind will be on what he's got to do. So I've had to, you know, a few people, give him a hug and just say, he didn't mean to do that. He loves you, but he's working. And his mind, you know, men are on one thing, but Clive's very much, he's very much like that. I don't want to communicate. I'd sooner be working, where I'll sit and talk all day. You know, the difference is so, we're so different, but I definitely couldn't have done it without Clive. Together, we're a team, yeah. Does anybody, like, want to share how you've been blessed in Harvest? Just a 3-minute, you know, if you've had a miracle in your body or you've been touched in some way. You know, because it's good doing church, but it's nice to hear that we've had a few input into people. So you and come up, yeah, that'd be awesome. And Nolo, come up too. We'll go. And Chinny, this is awesome. Dally.
Good morning. I was running a bit late this morning, so sorry about that. So I just want to say a little bit about how Harvest has impacted me. Before I turned up here, I was a punk rocker. I had this huge mohawk, spikes everywhere. I was also a very angry man, very upset man, very broken man. I hadn't passed anything at school. I was very, I can't spell, I'm really dyslexic. And so I was really downtrodden, yeah? And so I came into Harvest City. I'd just been saved recently. Still had my big black boots on and belt and everything. It was quite a crazy looking sight. And slowly God's working on my heart, yeah? And Trish and Clive, they do their thing and they pray for you and then demons are leaving and all that good stuff. And since then, so it's been about 13 years for me and God. And obviously I don't look the same as I did back then. I am now a qualified counselor and I work in the field, specialist field of harmful sexual behaviors with men. I've traveled the world with my wife, who I met in Harvest. We've been traveling the world, seeking God, finding, going to every Holy Spirit place we can find just to soak in the presence of God. And the foundations that Harvest gave me in those first few years have set me up, when I've been everywhere I've been in the world, to carry the presence, carry the anointing, carry the understandings that God has, that He's sowing in this place. So I just encourage you just to soak in as much as you can and take as much anointing away as you can, because God uses it.
Yeah, for me, it was, I've been a Christian as long as I can remember, but I know coming here did something. It set me free. I'm still working on stuff, but the Lord just when I first came here, and I used to dance, I used to twirl a lot, and I believe that was unwinding. The Lord was unwinding stuff in me, and I have to say, I'm a different person. I'm still working through stuff, but I'm a different person. I remember when I was wanting to make the decision to come, every part of me was going, yes, I've been at Gateway for nearly 28 years, and I wanted to come here, and I was torn because I didn't want to disobey the Lord, and I felt like I was disobeying the Lord if I went to Harvest. And then one day I felt in my head, well, the trouble with you is you keep going from church to church. And I just said, you've just overstepped the mark. I'm off. And I've never regretted being here. There's times when I thought, oh, Lord, I think I'll just go somewhere where it's not going to be so, where I'm not going to be so pressured. But I thank God for those times, because a bit like Trish and Lynette, there's been good times, there's been times the Lord's been doing stuff, but I love this place. I love Trish, I love Clive, I love, yeah, you guys down the back. I'm trying to think of your name, Montgomery's. I just, yeah, it's been a blessing, and I just thank the Lord for this place, and for Trish, and for Clive, and for all the team.
Hi, morning everybody. My name is Nolo, for those that haven't met me before. I'm not going to give a long story about Harvest, because I first came in 2010. I just want to specifically note one day, one particular day in 2010 that happened, that probably set the rest of the tone for Harvest for me. But it was the time when Trish was actually on sabbatical, so she won't remember this day because she wasn't here. But what used to happen preceding that particular morning was Clive would stand up every morning and give a very short sermon about the church bringing up visionaries. And you did this every week. You wouldn't actually give the sermon in front. You would just sit there at the front, probably for 2 or 3 minutes, and you'd do this every Sunday morning. And then you'd sit down every Sunday morning. Then particularly this day, you said, now we're going to anoint people for service, and God wants to anoint visionaries in the church. And I remember Lynette did the anointing that day, and there was going to be a firewall. You're actually the first person on the firewall, and there were people on this both sides, and you were doing an anointing that day. Anyway, I was one of the people at the back as we were coming through the fire tunnel, Specifically, when I came in, I could see people falling on the ground, and that's never happened before. So you'd always wonder when you see it happening to people as to what, how does it happen. But anyway, the last thing I remember in that fire tunnel was you anointing me. The rest of the time, I couldn't remember anything. And it turned out that it actually came to a halt when I actually entered in. And then right at the end, I remember that day I was wearing very high heels, and I thought maybe it's the shoes, that's why I couldn't walk. And it turned out I kept falling and standing and falling. And somewhere in the end, I wanted to crawl because I really couldn't stand. But I thought everyone was probably going to look at me funny, or at least take off the shoes. But I didn't, so I just laid at the end of the fire tunnel. And after a while, I managed to stand up. When I got home, Linda said, Linda, I don't think I'm going to drive. I don't think I can drive. You're probably going to have to drive. Just as we got to the plaza, I said, I think you need to stop here. I need to sit down. So I laid on the chairs in the plaza and I fell asleep because I couldn't explain what was going on. Yes, but it turned out I was drunk in the Holy Spirit. It's happened a few times since then, but not in Harvest. But specifically that day would be one that would stand out for a really long time. Thank you.
Well, I came to Harvest as a pastor of a church here in Hamilton, and I was just in the processes of leaving that particular church. I came here as in the afternoon. They had services in those days. And I came as a, sort of a, an interim to see what God was going to do in my life. And the first day I got here, I met Clive and some of the other guys, and they were just very warm, very encouraging. And as God began to lead and began to do things in my life, I was able to relinquish my role as the pastor of the previous church that I belonged to, and was able to pour myself into the energies of the life of the church. But it took about a year for some healing and some work for God to do. And, you know, you really couldn't have found a better church or better group of people than at Harvest for that healing to begin and to be worked through your life. And then God called me in that time to missions, and to be commissioned by the church and to be called by the church and to be go out as your first missionary. What an honor that was for me, and a privilege it was. And on the mission field, it's been such a joy to know that there's a church praying for you. And I say this often, I said it to some folk yesterday, that when I was in India for 3 years, all our neighbors were having attacks by snakes, cobra, and scorpions around the place. But our place was the only place that was not attacked in any way or had any snakes on the property. We had big gates where they could get under. No scorpions or snakes in our property at all. But the neighbors right next door to us always had snakes. They'd be getting rid of them all the time. And I said this because, the people said, why is that? Because our church back home in New Zealand prays specifically that God will protect us from these things. And so we have seen God provide and God bless us through this church in so many ways. And I am just so thankful. And if you're here, you're very blessed to be here. And we're very blessed to have you as well. Thank you.
Mine is, it's not long. It can never do justice to... I came in here and I was broken. I came from another church and was broken. And I feel that I kind of limped in. I've had healings, I've had deliverance, and I've been loved to bits. You know, I've just been so loved by, you know, so many people, but especially both of you. And I just thank you. And I've had many, many prophetic words. And that one last week, my goodness, that was a culmination of so... I have listened to... I sat outside before I came in and I listened again. And you said, and joy is coming. It comes in the morning. I meet my older son, sometimes my husband, if he's not working, but always 1 o'clock on a Sunday is our time, and I wasn't ready for last week. You know, he had lots of questions about Jesus. He says, you know, that is not his name. And it was really, like, really some things I thought, just give me the words, God or not. He says, it's Yeshua. He says, it's not Jesus. He says, why did that? He says, there's no J. And, you know, so there was just questions, you know. And then I said something. He says, oh, you misunderstand me. He says, I believe. So I don't know where it'll go, but thank you.
Sorry, I'm just the baby here because I haven't been here. I came to the church at the end of July this year, and I've been involved in healing and deliverance a lot and love that, but there's been a growing desire in my heart for other things, and I didn't really know what it was. And one day, through circumstances, I ended up here, and I sat here, and all the desires in my heart were fulfilled as I sat in this place. It was awesome. I've been coming to the Wednesday night, the Wednesday prayer meeting. I absolutely love it. There's lots of people that pray here, which is awesome, because you don't see that in many churches. And there's lots of men that come to the prayer meetings. And I love the ladies come too, but it's unusual to see so many prayers. And it's a blessing to be in a prayer meeting where there's so many men as well as women praying. And I've been going to the Helen's and Stephanie's Friday meeting with the ladies and learning all about going into the glory with Patricia King, which is all new to me, and I've been getting so hungry for that I went up to Joshua Mills last weekend. That's why I was away and spent days up there. And then I come down here this Sunday, Lynette, and the worship was so beautiful. The praise went up and the glory came down. So thank you so much. It's just beautiful. You're doing great. Keep going. So yeah, I agree with my brother. If you come to this church, you're blessed.
I too, when I came here 13 years ago, was pretty smashed up, pretty broken, come out of church splits and other things. And God has really touched my life and delivered me from lots of things. And he's my first priority. But I'd like to say I really honour you, Trish and Clive, and this leadership team. I remember when I brought my Zimbabwe friend here. She got so, so touched by the Holy Spirit as you prayed for her to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, she has never looked back. And in Australia now, she's planting a church. And when I visited her, this was, would have been 3 years ago, as the plane got closer and closer to Wagga, I just looked at my hands and they were just covered in gold. And all the back of my hands were just covered in gold. And I just know that that church is going to so, so grow. And the roots of that came out here. She always calls it, this place, her church. This is her church. So, and we've been through lots of things, lots and lots of things. And I want to just say that being a part of the ladies group this year has been really, it's been challenging. But actually watching the changes in people's lives, it, sometimes I sit there and I watch, I can see everybody's face because they're facing towards me. And it's actually mind-blowing to see. You can actually see the Holy Spirit working on people. And yeah, just thank you for all coming to that. And I just really bless this place. I've been travelling here for 13 years, either from Tokoroa or from Kawhia now. And I wouldn't go anywhere else. I've tried, because sometimes I've thought, well, maybe I need to be nearer my hometown. But it's just empty. I love the way we have the liberty and the freedom to move in the Holy Spirit and to be who we are and who we're called to be. And I really thank you for that. Thank you so, so much to all of you.
I've got a word for this church that I use often when I'm talking about it to other people, and that is the word unique. There's nothing like this church around. Edith and I, I've forgotten, it was about 2007 we started coming. Anyway, and the first time I'd been a few times for special meetings, and I brought Edith along one time, and we were sort of fed up with other church, and I brought her along, and the first Sunday we were sitting at the back there, and Trish got up to preach, and then she said no, and she came down and prophesied over the two of us, you know, and it was so unique. Fast forward another couple of years, and I had a friend come to visit me. He's Australian, but he lives in California, and his marriage had broken up and a few other problems, and he was a little bit of a mess, and he came down to stay for the weekend, and he was going to go to another church and it didn't work out. And I said, well, come to church with us, we've got a unique church. And he came along and sat at the back with us, and I said, this is unique, that the pastor usually prophesies over all the new people that come to church. And so anyway, the church service went on, and he was kind of amused that we were using an overhead projector. Hadn't seen that one for years. Yeah, it's unique. The other thing he thought was unique is that we still sang in the Spirit. Isn't that? But let's keep that going. And anyway, Trish got up to share, and she started preaching, and I looked at Colin and I said, oh, it's not going to happen. She didn't get it this week. But anyway, about halfway through the sermon, Trish stopped and she said, oh, what's your name? Colin, isn't it? And she gave a word for him. And not only that, after the meeting, I think he and Trish had a little chat, and boy, did he really reap the benefits from that in his life. So this is a unique church. anything can happen. Amen. And will. Amen.
I think unique's a good word, because I'm unique. And I think each one of us are unique. And I just really honour and respect you for the love that I felt from everybody, really. And just accept it, and the unity, that we're all part of a body. And you're also free to give it a go. We are all encouraged, if you feel like stepping out, to step out. And, you know, it's just great to be able to gradually walk back to things that you've experienced before, but they've been perhaps squashed or destroyed in you, and it's a slower process coming back, but we're getting there. So thank you very much.
You're getting lunch late.
I had a dream last night. And I said to my wife in the morning, I said, I had a dream there was a fire in Frankton. All I could see was smoke and fire. And I thought it was a tyre shop or something like that. And the Lord said, it's coming from your church.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. Come on, Doris. We love you.
This is a unique church. I just want to share the first time I ever visited here. My husband was a retired pastor at the retired pastor, and he was going to be preparing a sermon for that night for where we live, which is a retirement village. So I thought, well, I won't go to church today. Everybody will say, where's Rod? But I've heard of that Harvest Church down in Victoria Street. And I thought, oh, perhaps I'll go in there. Well, look, I was so nervous. I realise now I had a lot of religiosity. And I felt disloyal to my church that I wasn't attending. Yes, you see somebody nodding, they know what that feels like. And then I saw this lady come out from the side, and she spoke to me. It was right on 10. It was Trish. I said, good morning. I sat in the back row, and there was a lady I knew sat next to her. We had a song, and we sat down, and I closed my eyes, and I was saying, I'm sorry, Lord. I don't know whether I was meant to be here. And this lady nudged me like that. She said, she's talking to you. And I looked up. And Trish said, the lady with her eyes closed in the back row, if she would come forward, I've got a word for her. And I thought, oh my gosh. I had never, never in my life experienced anything like it. And I'd been through the charismatic move and woman's aglow, but not this. Anyhow, I walked forward. And she told me my life. And it was amazing. And it's a wonderful gift God has given you, Trish. It's nothing, you know, you don't receive it lightly. It's a precious, precious gift. And to tell me my life, but the thing that stands out was, she said, you're an intercessor and you have the sword and you go for it. You know, you go for it. I don't know if you'd believe that for me, but but the thing she said next was, but your husband comes along with the oil. And I thought, oh my goodness. So I went home and I shared with Rod what had happened and how this lady told me my life and about you coming along with the oil, because it was so true. And so anyhow, about Wednesday of that week, he said, you know, I've been thinking, I'd like to go along there and hear and just for myself. And you knew Rod, didn't you, Ginny? So I said, well, go right in at 10 o'clock so that no one will say, or you can think, somebody told her who I was, you know. So go in right at and just sit down quietly by yourself. Well, you came up to him in the church, and he was floored. You're right, God is right on. And you were open to hear, for both of us, what it was. And there was no condemnation. It was all love. And can I just add one other thing? All right. I'd had this word some 4 years ago, it would be, and I'd only heard on the Thursday that my dear sister-in-law in Dunedin was in hospital and looked as though she was dying. And I thought, well, she's more like a sister to me. Lord, am I to go down there? Because if I'm going down there, it's because she needs the Lord before she dies. So I got the tickets, but I was still wondering, should I go? On the Sunday, you were preaching, and you stopped preaching, and you said, has somebody had bad news this week? And I looked around, no one put up their hand, so I put up mine. And you came over, and you said what it was. And I shared. You said, share. And then you prayed. You said, you pray, Doris, me, pray. And I prayed. Because by this stage, I only wanted her to come to the Lord and know the Lord before she went. And you said to me, now you never knew this or realized what you did, but you said it's going to be all right, and you started to move away, and you came back, and your hand went up, and I saw three fingers like that, and you said, but you haven't long. I went down on the, we were going down, my daughter-in-law said, I'll go with you, Mum. And we went down on the Monday, and we're booked to come back on the Wednesday, 3 days. That was already booked before Trish said this. We get down on the Monday. She's still in public. We couldn't see her. They're very strict down there. But they said, I told them I was from Auckland, so they said, oh, we could go in for a moment. And she recognized us and was so gracious and pleased to see us. Next day, she was being shifted to hospice. There was no chance to talk to her either days because she couldn't rush in and rush out and tell her about the Lord. And I'd said to my young daughter here, what will I say to her? And she said, Mum, just say you're on a journey, Kath. You're on a journey. So anyhow, Tuesday, no chance. Place was full of relations. I said, well, my daughter-in-law, we've only got tomorrow night. We've only got till tomorrow morning. We'll get away very early and before anybody else comes. But the phone went, and it was my other sister, and she was down there too. She said, we thought we'd come with you ones in the morning. And I thought, oh dear, how am I going to work this now? So you can't say no. So three of them joined us and we went down to the hospice. But God knew. We walked in and she said, look, we will sit here and you and Marguerite go in. And we went in. And she was just waking up. And I said hello to her and I said, oh, Kath, you're on a journey. She said, yes. I said, would you like Jesus to go with you? She said, yes. She could hardly talk. And a letter to the Lord. And we led her to the Lord. Margie was praying on one side, and I was praying for her because she couldn't talk because she couldn't swallow anything, you see. And the door opened, and the nurse came in. Right at the time we finished, well, we left. The next morning we were home and Marguerite rang me because my nephew down there forgot my newly married name. It had changed, you see. So rang Marguerite in Auckland and he said, you just got there in time. She died at 4 o'clock this morning.
That is encouraging, and just thank you so much. Ewan was talking about how he arrived at Harvest, and he had a thing in it between his eyes, and he had those spiky things out of his ears, and And his leather belt had all these spikes, didn't it? And we're going, this is different. But did he have a love for Jesus? And we just saw, and he wanted to be cleaned out all the time. I'm coming to see you, Trish. I need deliverance. And he was so hungry. And we've just seen Holly and Ewan just grow and grow in the Lord in such amazing ways. When I look back, you know, you think, it's been worth it all. Even if we planted just for Ewan and Holly, you know, it's just been so amazing. So, you know, I'm just grateful, you know, for everything that has happened and what God has done. And we've seen many, many, many miracles, which is so amazing. I've seen many people set free, and that's my greatest heart, is to see people cleaned out and moving on in the things of God. Hallelujah. We better close. It's 12:10. But I just want to finish here. We're going to have the greatest harvest of souls. And, you know, in Luke 10:2, then he said to them, the harvest is truly great. Our name is harvest, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers. And so that's what we're going to just pray that. I might get... Malcolm, would you just pray for the labourers to come in for the harvest?
Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you have recaptured for us something of what this church is all about. It's about you and the harvest. And Lord, we would pray that you will help each of us to be anointed to be a part of the harvest that you are calling us into. That you will help us to go through and do what you are asking us to do. That we will have your courage and your anointing, your empowering, to be able to move into what you want us to do in this new coming year. The 14th year, where there is the promise of double blessing. We claim that double blessing. We claim the harvest. We pray the anointing on us as the harvesters, that we will be able to flow with your Holy Spirit. We thank you that we are experiencing more of your glory. We thank you for the worship in this place. And we thank you that you are coming in such a powerful way. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Just want to share one more thing. You know, I went to pick up the cake for later, and they had on their happy 30th anniversary, Harvest City Church. Okay, but you know, God doesn't make mistakes. It's changed now, but you know, Jesus entered his ministry in his 30th year, and I just want to encourage you, Trish. I believe, no. It's like this church is 30 years old, though. You know, it is. It's so mature, and Jesus entered his ministry at 30. So I just want to encourage you. Next 3 years are going to be amazing for you guys.
That was, he said it was 30 on there, and I thought that's prophetic, but see, Stephen's brought out the prophetic. So I really ask you, you know, please stay for lunch, have, you know, to talk to people. You're more than welcome. But we're just going to have these other days of Elijah. Yes. So just as they're preparing down there, let's just worship him and just say, these are the days of Elijah. Hallelujah. Get into it and come up the front.